Chapter 54, The Light of the World. Tom held up his torch, inspecting the enormous star-shaped black columns and their glowing yellow lines. Those lines gave the entire room a sickly light, making Tom look wan and jaundiced. Matt remembered the stink of this place, that musty staleness. Now that he knew what to look for, he could smell something else, too. The musty stink of an animal's lair. A predator's lair. There were five corridors leading out of the room, one at each inner point of the star shape. He remembered passing through one of those passageways, but had there not been only one way out before?
"Wonder how high up the pillars go," Tom said, raising his torch higher.
Matt held his Ashendari in a firmer grip, palms sweaty. They had entered the fox's den. He felt at his medallion. The Eelfin had not used the power on him before, but they had to have some understanding of it, did they not? Of course, Ogier could not channel. Perhaps that meant Eelfin could not either. Rustling sounds came from the edges of the room. Shadows shifted and moved. The Eelfin were in there, in that darkness.
"Tom," Matt said, "we should play some more music."
Tom watched that darkness. He did not object. He raised his flute and began playing. The sound seemed lonely in the vast room.
"Matt,"
Noel said, kneeling near the center of the room.
"Look at this."
"I know," Matt said. "It looks like glass but feels like stone."
"No, not that,"
Noel said.
"There's something here."
Matt edged over to Noel. Tom joined them, watching and playing as Noel used his lantern to illuminate a melted lump of slag on the floor, perhaps the size of a small chest. It was black, but a deeper, less reflective black than the floor and the columns.
"What do you make of it?"
Noel asked.
"Maybe one of the trap doors?"
"No," Matt said. "It's not that." The other two looked at him. "It's the archway," Matt said, feeling sick. "The red stone doorway. When I came through it before, it was in the center of a room like this. When it melted on the other side..."
"It melted here, too,"
Noel said. The three stared at it. Tom's music sounded haunting. "Well," Matt said, "we knew it wasn't a way out in the first place. We'll have to bargain our way free. And I'll make bloody sure not to get hanged this time."
"Will the dice lead us?"
Noel asked, rising. Matt felt them in his coat pocket.
"I don't see why not."
But he did not take them out. He turned to regard the depths of the room. Tom's music seemed to have stilled some of the shadows, but others still moved. There was a restless energy to the air.
"Matt?"
Tom asked.
"You knew I'd come back,"
Matt said loudly. His voice did not echo. Light. How large was the thing?
"You knew I'd come marching back to your bloody realm, didn't you? You knew you'd have me eventually."
Hesitant, Tom lowered his flute.
"Show yourselves," Matt said. "I can hear you scrambling, hear you breathing."
"Matt,"
Tom said, laying a hand on his shoulder.
"They couldn't have known that you'd come back. Moraine didn't know that you'd come for certain."
Matt watched the darkness.
"You ever see men lead cattle to slaughter, Tom?"
The gleeman hesitated, then shook his head.
"Well, every man has his own ways," Matt said. "But cattle, see, they'll know something is wrong. They'll smell the blood. They'll get frenzied, refuse to enter the slaughterhouse. And you know how you fix that?"
"Do we have to talk about this now, Matt?"
"You fix it," Matt said, "by taking them through the slaughterhouse a few times when it is clean, when the scents aren't so strong. You let them go through and escape, see? And they'll think the place is safe."
He looked at Tom.
"They knew I'd be back. They knew I'd survive that hanging. They know things, Tom. Burn me, but they do."
"We'll get out, Matt,"
Tom promised.
"We can. Moraine saw it."
Matt nodded firmly.
Bloody right we will. They're playing a game, Tom. I win games.
He pulled a handful of dice from his pocket.
I win them most of the time, anyway.
A voice whispered suddenly from behind them.
Welcome, son of battles.
Matt spun, cursing, glancing about the chamber.
There,
Noel said, pointing with his staff. There was a figure beside one of the pillars, half lit by the yellow light. Another eel fin. Taller, his face more angular, his eyes reflected torchlight. Orange.
I can take you where you wish to go,
the eel fin said, voice rough and gravelly. He raised an arm against the glow of the torches.
For a price.
Tom, music!
Tom began playing again.
One of you already tried to get us to leave our tools behind,
Matt said. He pulled a torch from the pack over his arm, then thrust it to the side, letting it on Noel's lantern.
It won't work.
The eelfin shied away from the new light, snarling softly.
You come looking to bargain, yet you purposely antagonize? We have done nothing to earn this.
Matt pulled the scarf free from his neck.
Nothing?
The creature made no response, though it did back away, stepping into the darker area between pillars. Its too angular face was now only barely lit by the yellow lights.
Why do you wish to speak with us, son of battles?
The whisperer said from the shadows.
If you are not willing to bargain.
No, Matt said. No bargaining until we reach the Great Hall, the Chamber of Bonds.
That was the only place where they would be bound to the agreement. Is that not what Birgitta had said? Of course, she had seemed to be relying on stories and hearsay herself. Tom continued playing, eyes darting from side to side, trying to watch the shadows. Noel began to play the little cymbals he had tied to the legs of his trousers, tapping them in time with Tom's music. The shadows continued to move out there, however.
Your comforts will not slow us, son of battles,
a voice said from behind. Matt spun, lowering his weapon. Another eelfin stood there, just inside the shadows. A female, with a crest of red running down her back, the leather straps crossing her breasts in an X pattern. Her red lips smiled.
We are the Near Ancient, the warriors of final regret, the knowers of secrets. Be proud, son of battles,
another voice hissed. Matt spun again, sweat dampening his brow. The female vanished back into the shadows, but another eelfin strolled through the light. He carried a long, wicked bronze knife with a crosswork pattern of roses along its length and thorns sticking out near the top of the crossguard.
You draw out our most skilled. You are to be savored.
What?
Matt began, but the lean, dangerous-looking eelfin stepped back into the shadows and vanished. Too quickly, as if the darkness had absorbed him. Other whispers began in the shadows, speaking in low voices, overlapping each other. Faces appeared from the darkness, inhuman eyes wide, lips curled in smiles. The creatures had pointed teeth.
Light, there were dozens of eelfin in the room, shifting, moving about, dancing into the light, then jumping back into the dark. Some were casual, others energetic. All looked dangerous.
Will you bargain? One asked. You come without treaty. Dangerous, said another. Son of battles, the saver. Feel his fear. Come with us. Leave your terrible light. A bargain must be made. We will wait. Patient we are, ever patient. The saver.
Stop it, Matt bellowed. No bargains. Not until we reach the center.
At his side, Tom lowered the flute.
Matt, I don't think the music is working anymore.
Matt nodded curtly. He needed Tom ready with weapons. The gleeman tucked away his flute, getting out knives. Matt ignored the whispering voices and tossed the dice onto the ground. As they rolled, a figure scuttled from the darkness beside the nearest pillar. Matt cursed, lowering his spear and striking at the eelfin, which moved across the ground on all fours. But his blade passed right through it, as if it were smoke. Was it an illusion? A trick of the eyes? Matt hesitated long enough for another creature to snatch the dice and leap back toward the shadows. Something sparkled in the air. Tom's dagger found its mark, striking the creature in the shoulder. This time the blade pierced and stayed, releasing a spray of dark blood. Iron, Matt thought, cursing his stupidity. He spun the Ashandarai around, using the side banded with iron. He shivered as he saw the eelfin's blood on the ground begin to steam. White steam, like in the other chambers, but this had shapes in it. They looked like twisted faces, appearing briefly and yelling before vanishing. Burn them. He couldn't get distracted. He had other dice. He reached for his pocket, but an eelfin ducked from the shadows as if to grab at his coat. Matt spun his weapon, striking the side of the fox male's face with the banded iron. He crushed bone, tossing the creature to the side like a bundle of sticks. Hisses and growls surrounded them. Eyes shifted in the darkness, reflecting torchlight. The eelfin moved, cloaked in blackness, surrounding Matt and the others. Matt cursed, taking a step in the direction of the eelfin he had struck.
Matt,
Tom said, grabbing the cuff of his coat.
We can't wade into that.
Matt hesitated. It seemed that the stink from before was stronger, the scent of beasts. Shadows moved all about, more frantic now, their whispers angry and mixed with yipping calls.
They control the darkness,
Noel said. He stood with his back to Matt and Tom, wary.
Those yellow lights are to distract us. There are breaks in them, and sheltered alcoves. It's all a trick.
Matt felt his heart beating rapidly. A trick? No, not just a trick. There was something unnatural about the way those creatures moved in the shadow.
Burn them,
Matt said, shaking Tom's hand free but not chasing into the darkness.
Gentlemen,
Noel said.
Gather arms.
Matt glanced over his shoulder. There were eel fins stalking from the shadows behind them, a double wave, one group sliding on all fours before a second group. The second group carried those wicked-looking bronze knives. The shadows from the depths of the room seemed to be extending with the eelfin, closing on Matt and his group. His heart beat even faster. The eelfin eyes shone, and those on all fours began to lope forward. Matt swung as the eelfin reached his group, but they split, ducking to the sides, distracting him. Behind, Matt thought with alarm. Another group of eelfin jumped out of the darkness there. Matt turned on them, swinging. They ducked back before he hit. Light, they were all around, seething out of the darkness, coming close enough to be dangerous, then backing away. Tom whipped out a pair of daggers, throwing, and Noel kept his short sword at the ready, waving his torch with his other hand, his banded staff on the floor at his feet. One of Tom's knives flashed, seeking flesh, but missed and passed into the darkness.
Don't waste knives, Matt said. Bloody sons of goats, they're trying to make you waste them, Tom.
They're harrying us,
Noel growled.
They'll overwhelm us eventually. We have to move. Which way?
Tom asked, urgent. He cursed as a pair of eelfin appeared from the shadows, carrying bronze-ended lances. They thrust forward, forcing Matt, Tom, and Noel to back away. No time for dice. They would just snatch those anyway. Matt yanked open his pack and pulled out a night flower.
Once this goes off, I'm going to close my eyes and spin about.
What?
Tom said.
It's worked before,
Matt said, lighting the night flower and throwing it as hard as he could into the darkness. There was a count of five, and the boom that followed rattled the room. All three of them averted their eyes, but the colorful flash was bright enough to see through eyelids. Eelfin screamed in pain, and Matt distinctly heard pings as weapons were dropped. No doubt hands were raised to eyes.
Here we go, Matt said, spinning.
This is flaming insane,
Tom said. Matt kept going, trying to feel for it.
Where was that luck?
That way,
he said, pointing in a random direction. He opened his eyes in time to leap over the dark form of an eelfin huddling on the ground. Noel and Tom followed, and Matt led them straight into the darkness. He charged ahead until his friends were barely visible. All he could see were those lines of yellow. Oh, bloody ashes, he thought. If my luck fails me now... They burst into a five-sided corridor, the darkness vanishing around them. They had not been able to see this corridor from the other room, but here it was. Tom let out a whoop.
Matt, you wood-headed shepherd. For this I'll let you play my harp.
I don't want to play your bloody harp, Matt said, glancing over his shoulder. But you can buy me a mug or two when we're out. He heard screams and screeches from the dark room. That was one trick used up. They'd be expecting night flowers now. Birgitta, you were right, he thought. You probably walked past the corridor you needed several times, never knowing it was only a few feet away. Never choose the card a man wants you to. Matt should have realized that. It was one of the oldest cons in creation. They hastened forward, passing five-sided doorways leading into large, star-shaped caverns. Tom and Noel glanced into them, but Matt kept on. Straight forward. That was the way his luck had sent them. Something was different from when he had visited before. There was no dust on the floor to make footprints. Had they known he was coming, and used the dust to confuse him? Or had they cleaned the place this time, knowing that visitors might arrive? Who knew in a realm such as this? It had been a long walk before, or had it been a short one? Time blended here. It seemed that they ran for only hours, yet it also felt like moments. And then the doorway was in front of them, appearing like a striking adder. It had not been there a moment before. The rim of the open archway was intricately carved wood, with an impossible pattern of weaving vines that seemed to double back on one another and make no sense. All three pulled to a halt.
Mirrors,
Noel said.
I've seen it before. That's how they do it. Obscuring things with mirrors.
He sounded unnerved. Where did one hide mirrors in a bloody straight tunnel? They were in the right place, Matt could smell it. The stink of the eel fin was strongest here. He set his jaw and stepped through the doorway. The room beyond was as he remembered it. No columns here, though the room was distinctly star-shaped. Eight tips, and only the one doorway. Those glowing yellow strips ran up the sharp ends of the room, and eight empty pedestals stood, black and ominous, one at each point. It was exactly the same, except for the woman floating at its center. She was clothed only in a fine white mist that shifted and shone around her, the details of her figure obfuscated but not hidden. Her eyes were closed, and her dark hair, curly but no longer in perfect ringlets, fluttered as if in a wind blowing up from beneath. Her hands rested atop her stomach, and she was in a strange bracelet of something that looked like aged ivory on her left wrist. Moraine. Matt felt a surge of emotions. Worry, frustration, concern, awe. She was the one who had started this all. He had hated her at times. He also owed her his life. She was the first one who had meddled, yanking him this way and that. Yet, looking back, he figured that she had been the most honest about it of anyone who had used him. Unapologetic, unyielding, and selfless. She had dedicated everything to protecting three foolish boys, all ignorant of what the world would demand of them. She had determined to take them to safety, maybe train them a little, whether they wanted it or not. Because they needed it. Light, her motives seemed clear to him now. That did not make him any less angry with her, but it did make him grateful. Burn her, but this was a confusing set of emotions. Those bloody foxes. How dare they keep her like this? Was she alive? Tom and Noel were staring. Noel solemn, Tom disbelieving. So Matt stepped forward to pull Moraine free. As soon as his hands touched the mist, however, he felt a blazing pain. He screamed, pulling back, shaking his hand. It's bloody hot, Matt said. It... He cut off as Tom stepped forward. Tom, Matt said warningly.
I don't care, the gleeman said.
He stepped up to the mist, reaching in, his clothing beginning to steam, his eyes watering from the pain. He did not flinch. He dug into that mist and took hold of her, then pulled her free. Her weight sank into his arms, but his aging limbs were strong, and she looked frail enough that she must not have weighed much. Light. Matt had forgotten how small she was, a good head shorter than he was. Tom knelt, pulling off his gleeman's cloak and wrapping her in it. Her eyes were still closed.
Is she?
Noel asked.
She lives, Tom said quietly. I felt her heartbeat.
He took the bracelet off her arm. It was in the shape of a man bent backward with his wrists bound to his ankles, clothed in a strange suit of clothing.
It looks like a Tyron Greal of some sort, Tom said, tucking it into his coat pocket.
It is an Angreal, a voice proclaimed. Strong enough to be nearly Sa Angreal. It can be part of her price, should you wish to pay it.
Matt spun. The pedestals were now occupied by Eelfin, four males, four females. All eight wore white instead of black, white skirts with straps across the chests for the males, and blouses for the females, made from that disturbingly pale substance that looked like skin.
Mark your tongues, Matt said to Tom and Noel, trying to contain his worry. Speak amiss and they'll have you strung up, claiming it was your own desire. Ask nothing of them.
The other two fell silent, Tom holding Moraine close, Noel carrying his torch and staff warily, pack over his shoulder.
This is the Great Hall, Matt said to the Eelfin. The place called the Chamber of Bonds. You must abide by the pacts you make here.
The bargain has been arranged, one of the Eelfin males said, smiling, showing pointed teeth.
The other Eelfin leaned in, breathing deeply as if smelling something. Or as if drawing something from Matt and the others. Birgitta had said that they fed off emotion.
What bargain?
Matt snapped, glancing around at the pedestals.
Burn you, what bargain?
A price must be paid, one said.
The demands must be met, said another. A sacrifice must be given.
This from one of the females. She smiled more broadly than the others. Her teeth were pointed too.
I want the way out restored as part of the bargain, Matt said. I want it back where it was and open again. And I'm not bloody done negotiating, so don't assume that this is my only request, burn you.
It will be restored, an Eelfin said.
The others leaned forward. They could sense his desperation. Several of them seemed dissatisfied. They didn't expect us to make it here, Matt thought. They don't like to risk losing us.
I want you to leave that way out open until we get through, Matt continued. No blocking it up or making it bloody vanish when we arrive. And I want the way to be direct. No changing rooms about. A straight pathway. And you bloody foxes can't knock us unconscious or try to kill us or anything like that.
They did not like that. Matt caught several of them frowning. Good. They would see they were not negotiating with a child.
We take her, Matt said. We get out.
Those demands are expensive, one of the Eelfin said.
What will you pay for these boons?
The price has been set,
another whispered from behind. And it had been. Somehow, Matt knew. A part of him had known from the first time he had read that note. If he had never spoken to the Eelfin that first time, would any of this have happened? Likely he would have died. They had to tell the truth. They had warned him of a payment to come. For life. For Moraine. And he would have to pay it. In that moment, he knew that he would. For he knew that if he did not, the cost would be too great. Not just to Tom, not just to Moraine. And not just to Matt himself. By what he'd been told, the fate of the world itself depended on this moment.
Well, burn me for a fool, Matt thought. Maybe I am a hero after all.
Didn't that beat all?
I'll pay it, Matt announced. Half the light of the world.
To save the world.
Done,
one of the male eelfin announced. The eight creatures leaped, as if one, from their pedestals. They enclosed him in a tightening circle like a noose. Quick, supple, and predatory.
Matt!
Tom cried, struggling to hold the unconscious Moraine while reaching for one of his knives. Matt held up a warding hand toward Tom and Noel.
This must be done, he said, taking a few steps away from his friends.
The eelfin passed them without sparing a glance. The gold studs on the straps crossing the male eelfin's chests glittered in the yellow light. All eight creatures were smiling wide. Noel raised his sword.
No, Matt yelled. Don't break this agreement. If you do, we all will die here.
The eelfin stepped up in a tight circle around Matt. He tried to look at them all at once, heart thudding louder and louder in his chest. They were sniffing at him again, drawing in deep breaths, enjoying whatever it was they drew from him.
Do it, burn you, Matt growled. But know this is the last you'll get of me. I'll escape your tower and I'll find a way to free my mind from you forever. You won't have me. Matram Cawthon is not your bloody puppet.
We shall see, an eelfin male growled, eyes lustful.
The creature's hand snapped forward, two sharp nails glittering in the dim light. He drove them directly into the socket around Matt's left eye, then ripped the eye out with a snap. Matt screamed.
Light, but it hurt.
More than any wound taken in battle, more than any insult or barb. It was as if the creature had pressed its deceitful claws into his mind and soul. Matt fell to his knees, spear clattering to the ground as he raised hands to his face. He felt sickness on his cheek, and he screamed again as his fingers felt the empty hole where his eye had been. He threw his head back and yelled into the room, bellowing in agony. Eelfin watched with their horrid, almost human faces, eyes narrowed in ecstasy as they fed on something rising from Matt, an almost invisible vapor of red and white.
The savor, one eelfin exclaimed. So long, cried another. How it twists around him, said the one who had taken his eye. How it spins, scents of blood in the air, and the gambler becomes the center of all. I can taste fate itself.
Matt howled, his hat falling back as he looked through a single, tear-muddled eye toward the darkness above. His eye socket seemed to be on fire, blazing. He felt the blood and cera dry on his face, then flake away as he screamed. The eelfin drew in deeper breaths, looking drunk. Matt let out one final scream. Then he clenched his fists and shut his jaw, though he could not stop a low groan, a growl of anger and pain, from sounding deep within his throat. One of the eelfin males collapsed as if overwhelmed. He was the one who had taken Matt's eye. He clutched it in his hands, curling around it. The others stumbled away, finding their way to pillars or the sides of the room, resting against them for support. Noel dashed to Matt's side, Tom following more carefully, still cradling Moraine.
Matt?
Noel asked. Teeth still clenched against the pain, Matt forced himself to reach back and snatch his hat off the white floor. He was not leaving his hat, burn him. It was a bloody good hat. He stumbled to his feet.
Your eye, Matt,
Tom said.
Doesn't matter, Matt said. Burn me for a fool, a bloody goat-headed fool.
He could barely think through the agony. His other eye blinked tears of pain. It really did seem he had lost half of the light of the world. It was like looking through a window with one half blackened. Despite the blazing pain in his left socket, he felt as if he should be able to open his eye. But he could not. It was gone. And no Aes Sedai channeling could replace that. He pulled on his hat, defiantly ignoring the pain. He pulled the brim down on the left, shading the empty socket, then bent down and picked up his Ashandarai, stumbling but managing it.
I should have been the one to pay, Tom said, voice bitter. Not you, Matt. You didn't even want to come.
It was my choice, Matt said. and I had to do it anyway. It's one of the answers I was told by the Alefin when I first came. I'd have to give up half the light of the world to save the world. Bloody snakes.
To save the world?
Tom asked, looking down at Moraine's peaceful face, her body wrapped in the patchwork cloak. He had left his pack on the floor.
She has something yet to do, Matt said. The pain was retreating somewhat. We need her, Tom. Burn me, but it's probably something to do with Rand. Anyway, this had to happen.
And if it hadn't?
Tom asked.
She said she saw...
It doesn't matter, Matt said, turning toward the doorway. The Alefin were still overwhelmed. One would think they had been the ones to lose an eye, looking at those expressions. Matt set his pack on his shoulder, leaving Tom's where it sat. He could not carry two, not and be able to fight.
Now I've seen something,
Noel said, looking over the room and its occupants.
Something no man has ever seen, I warrant. Should we kill them?
Matt shook his head. Might break our bargain.
Will they keep it?
Tom asked. Not if they can wiggle out of it, Matt said, then winced again. Light, but his head hurt. Well, he could not sit around and cry like he had lost his favorite foal. Let's go. They made their way out of the grand hall. Noel carried a torch, though he had reluctantly left his staff behind, favoring his short sword. There were no openings in the hallway this time, and Matt heard Noel muttering at that. It felt right. He had demanded a straight pathway back. The Alefin were liars and cheats, but they seemed to be liars and cheats like the Aes Sedai. Matt had made his demands carefully this time, rather than spouting out whatever occurred to him. The hallway went on for a long while. Noel was growing more and more nervous. Matt kept on forward, footsteps in time with his throbbing skull. How would missing an eye change how he fought? He would have to be more careful on that left side. And he would have trouble judging distance now. In fact, he had that trouble now. Walls and floor were disturbingly hard to judge. Tom clutched Moraine close to his chest, like a miser holding his gold. What was she to him, anyway? Matt had assumed that Tom was along for the same reason that Matt was, because it felt as if it needed to be done. That tenderness in Tom's face was not what Matt had expected to see. The hallway ended abruptly in a five-sided arch. The room beyond appeared to be the one with the melted slag on the floor. No signs of the fight before were visible. No blood on the floor. Matt took a deep breath and led the way through. He tensed as he saw Alefin here, crouching or standing in the shadows, hissing and growling. They did not move, did not strike, though some yipped quietly. Shadows made them seem even more like foxes. If Matt looked right at one, he could almost mistake them for ordinary men and women. But the way they moved in darkness, sometimes on all fours. No man walked like that, with the anxious tension of a chained predator. Like an angry hound, separated from you by a fence and fiercely eager to get to your throat. But they held to their bargain. None attacked, and Matt began to feel right good about himself once they reached the other side of the room. He had beaten them. Last time they had gotten the better end, but that was only because they had fought like cowards, punching a man who did not know the fight had started. This time he had been ready. He had shown them that Matrim Cawthon was no fool. They entered a corridor with the faintly glowing white steam at the top. The floor was of those black interlocking triangles, curved in the sides like scales. Matt began to breathe easier as they entered one of the rooms with the twisting steam rising from the corners, though his eye sockets still hurt like the nethers of a freshly gelded stallion. He stopped in the center of the room, but then continued forward. He had demanded a straight pathway. That was what he would get. No doubling back and forth this time.
Blood and bloody ashes, Matt said, realizing something as he walked.
What?
Tom asked, looking up from Moraine with alarm.
My dice, Matt said. I should have included getting my dice back in the bargain.
But we discovered that we don't need them to guide us.
It's not about that, Matt grumbled.
I like those dice. He pulled his hat down again, looking down the hallway ahead. Was that motion he saw? All the way in the distance, a good dozen rooms away? No, it must be a trick of the shadows and the shifting steam.
Matt,
Noel said,
I've mentioned that my old tongue isn't what it once was, but I think I understood what you said. The bargain you made.
Yes, Matt said, only half listening. Had he been speaking in the old tongue again? Burn him. And what was that down the hallway?
Well,
Noel said,
you said, as part of the bargain, something like, you foxes can't knock us down or try to kill us or anything.
Sure did, Matt said.
You said foxes, Matt,
Noel said.
The foxes can't hurt us.
And they let us pass.
But what about the others?
Noel asked.
The Eilfin. If the Eilfin can't hurt us, are the Eilfin required to leave us be as well?
The shadows in the far distant corridor resolved into figures carrying long, sinuous bronze swords with curving blades. Tall figures wearing layers of yellow cloth, the hair on their heads straight and black. Dozens of them, who moved with an unnatural grace, eyes staring forward, eyes with pupils that were vertical slits.
Bloody and bloody ashes.
Run!
Matt yelled.
Which direction?
Noel asked, alarmed.
Any direction,
Matt yelled.
So long as it's away from them.